Okay, we are in, well, of course, like always, Councils for the Church on Friday night here. Chapter 29, and it's titled Recreation of All Things. Well, amen. And boy, do we need it. I need to get away. I mean, I actually took the motorhome for a drive today to go into town. And I had to get some little nails and stuff like that because I'm building birdhouses and stuff. And I completely forgot as I left the house that, oh, man, I got to go to the hardware store to get these nails. Where am I going to park this beast? And I, you know, figured out a spot to stick it in. But I we need to get away is the reason I bring this up. Is because all winter, you really can't go anywhere, you know. And in my county, you're not allowed to drive anything that's 10,000 pounds or over on the back roads. You can do it on the stone, they don't care, but the back roads are not really asphalt. They MacGyver it in a way where they put down oil, they put stone, they put oil, they put stone, they put, you know, over the years, that's all it is. It's just a bunch of oil and stone, oil and stone, oil and stone. And so what happens when it's like, below freezing, if you drive on it, it cracks the edges of the road from the weight, and then they got to repair it. And so they will fine you. I think it's $2,500 the first time, $7,500 the second time if they catch you on the road. And I'm thinking, oh, well, I'm not really that heavy, but I'm not taking a chance because I talked to the county guy, and he says, they might pull you over. He says, oh, well, because I want to drive this thing once a month. I don't want the tires to get all rotted out. So. But seriously, recreation is something we need. But let's see what she has to say about this. She says, Christians have many sources of happiness at their command, and they may tell with unerring accuracy what pleasures are lawful and right. They may enjoy such recreations as will not dissipate the mind or debase the soul, such as will not disappoint and leave a sad after influence to destroy self-respect or bar the way to usefulness. If they and it's like I was talking about earlier when she says here, lead a sad after influence to destroy self-respect. There's a lot of ways to look at that, but it's just like with the babe in Christ that I, you know, was talking about earlier that, you know, you commit the sin, you ask for forgiveness, and then all of a sudden the sin keeps coming back in your memory. And you got to know that it's not the Lord that's going to do that. Because he already promised in his word that he has forgiven you. And so it's going to be one of two others that'll actually do that. And it's either going to be yourself reminding yourself because you don't know how to trust the Father enough yet and keep, you know, and trust him at his word, or it's Satan himself. And that's usually who it is. It's just usually Satan trying to make you feel, you know, and this is why she brings up this, you know, destroy self-respect thing, because the devil's going to, he's unrelenting. He's going to hop all over that. And as we've seen lately, he's hopping in every place he can. You know, he's going after loved ones around us. Like, if he can't get to us, he's going to go after those around us to, you know, pull at our heartstrings or do whatever he can. So the stronger you get in Christ, the more difficult it's going to be, especially if you're still a teenager, let's say, and you're living at home. And because the enemies will be of your own house, because not everyone in the house is going to understand or believe the way you do. And then you're just going to be vexed right there in your own house. But she goes on to say that if they could take Jesus with them and maintain a prayerful spirit, they are perfectly safe. Any amusement in which you can engage asking the blessing of God upon it in faith will not be dangerous. Let me stop there. Well, let me see what she says here. Because I know they didn't have certain things at her, when she was around. Let's just see. She goes, but any amusement which disqualifies you for secret prayer, for devotion at the altar of prayer, or for taking part in a prayer meeting is not safe, but dangerous. In other words, if you already have a set place to go to be with the brethren, and you choose rather to go hang out in some park, an amusement park, that can, you know, that could be dangerous spiritually. But when she says any amusement in which you engage asking the blessing of God upon it in faith will not be dangerous, well, they didn't have roller coasters in her days. And I don't know if anybody saw that video, and I can't believe that the guy running the ride did what he did, but praise God it didn't mess up, because I kept thinking, you better stop yanking on that little girl, because she's going to fly off of there and die. And what happened was, I guess they had some, I don't even know what it is. I'm trying to picture it in my mind. I saw it yesterday. Like a catapult thing where you get thrown up in the air and then you're swinging back and forth for a while with other people. I guess she slid out of the chair head first or something. I don't know. And she's dangling there from her feet. She's a teenager, so she's a good 5 feet long maybe. So she's dangling there. And then the thing comes running through like it usually does, but usually people are sitting in it. And they're all screaming and everybody's laughing and having a good old time, right? She's screaming, but she's not having a good old time. And she, you know, it swings by the guy that's running the ride. He doesn't touch her the first two or three swings because she's just moving too fast. She's coming back and forth way too fast. But the third or fourth time, he tries to grab hold of her and isn't able to. And she kind of rocks and rolls a little bit and kind of, but she's still hung on with just her ankles or something. I don't know how she was holding on because her arms are just flailing in the wind. But if he would have yanked her free of that, she would have landed on that concrete that was a good 20, 25 feet under her as she was swinging up again. But, see, even as a teenager, I didn't like roller coasters, not because I was fearful. It's the same reason I didn't like drugs. I mean, I the hard stuff, like some of my loved ones got into. Because I says, you know, this is the only life you got. That's how I, you know, thought back then. I understood heaven and all that, and I says, I don't want to mess it up down here. I was fearful too, because I thought, well, I've seen people have bad trips, and I'm thinking, I wouldn't want to go through that. And so that scared me. And so instead of being Mr. Fearful, I would act like Mr. Macho and just say, yeah, well, look, I want to have a wife and a lot of kids, and I want to have her giving birth to children with all these defects because of the drugs I got in me. And so that was an easy way for me to just say no without actually looking like a wimp, if you will, as they would say, because they, you know how peer pressure is. They'll just force you to take until all of a sudden they realize that that chemical puddle that you're walking in couldn't handle that drug and you're dead now. But they don't care because they didn't die. And so the same thing with the roller coaster or the same thing with any of these crazy amusement parks. I mean, some of these kids are getting decapitated. This is one kid in a – that was just a slide, though. He got a little kid. He was internally decapitated. It broke his neck so severely that it separated this, you know, the skull from the spine, but his neck was still intact. That happened about a year ago, I think, maybe 6 months. I never understood that. Or even people that, you know, mountain climbing. Now, I could understand if you're a Wesleyan and you're running from Rome. Well, then, yeah, let's get some pitchforks and climb that mountain. But if you're doing it out there just for fun or jumping out of an airplane, I mean, seriously, you kidding me? But that's what they do. There's people that's enjoyment, they say. Oh, I get off on the adrenaline. Or these kids in Russia, have you seen these videos? They call this entertainment or recreation, if you will. They're climbing as high as they can get in these cranes or whatever, and then they're running all over the tops of these cranes without any harnesses. Or one kid's holding on, and then he pulls himself up, lets go, and then grabs it again. Pulls himself up, lets go, grabs it again. He's like, you know, 200-300 feet off the ground. One slip and you're dead. But no one thinks of that. And I know that kind of mindset because I was the same way when I was that age, walking across a dry riverbed, you know, a good 80, 90 feet off the ground because some guy bet me I wouldn't walk that I-beam. So I know where they're at with that stupid, you know, idiotic, macho, show-off stuff. But you got to understand, people die. And I, you know, it's just one slip. She goes on, and again, with the amusement here that she's talking about, like with the recreation, they didn't have the roller coasters back then. But nowadays, all of these so-called amusement parks, and if it's not the roller coasters, they also sell the beer and the gambling and all this other stuff. But anyway, she goes, we are of that class who believe that it is our privilege every day of our lives to glorify God upon the earth, that we are not to live in this world merely for our own amusement, merely to please ourselves. We are here to benefit humanity and to be a blessing to society. And if we let our minds run in that low channel that many who are seeking only vanity and folly permit their minds to run in, how can we be a benefit to our race and generation? And that, and a good way to look at that is like the pop stars or the rock stars today, or even that, I'm not going to mention that family's name, but these young girls, their only claim to fame is promiscuity. That's it. And for some reason, today's society eats that up. And so if there was a pearly, well, there is a pearly gate, but let's just say if heaven was set up in this way, like all the Catholics like to say, St. Peter standing at the gate with the tickets to let you in. And let's say you go walking up to the gate and he says, what have you done with your life? And this one person will say, well, all I did was to feed my flesh and do what I wanted and did whatever. You know, yeah, you're not going to get in. Or what did you do all your life? Well, I sang. Or I was an actor. Oh, so you lied for a profession for your entire life and made tens of millions of dollars or hundreds of millions of dollars today. And it's all about the self. How can that be a blessing to society? And so she says, we cannot innocently indulge in any amusement which will unfit us for the more faithful discharge of ordinary duties. There are many things which are right in themselves, but which, perverted by Satan, prove a snare to the unwary. There is a great need of temperance in amusements, as in every other pursuit, and the character of these amusements should be carefully and thoroughly considered. Every youth should ask himself, what influence will these amusements have on physical, mental, and moral health? Yeah, in today's world especially, because they didn't have... Well, they had the drug craze in her day, but that was mostly Middle Eastern stuff with those weird pipes with all the strings coming off of them that Benny Hinn was handing to a guy that ended up dying of an overdose that night. I can't remember what those... It's a pipe in the middle, and it's got all these... looks like an octopus on the table. And everybody takes a hit. So they've been doing that for hundreds of years out in the Middle East, and now they're just, it's normal out here in America. But the drug culture today, it's just, it's a shisha, well, I don't know how to, shisha, I guess they call it. I don't know. But, it looks like an octopus, with a bowl of marijuana or hashish or whatever on top. But, today with, and I'm reminiscing of the 70s because I'm a product of the 1970s. That was my teen. That was my stomping years, right? I've had many of my friends end up in jail for many years because of the drug thing, dealing it or just taking it and get caught with it. I mean, the government was trying to do everything they could to curb it, but at the same time, funneling it in. I mean, right now, there's rock-hard evidence that our own Central Intelligence Agency is the biggest drug pusher on the planet, and they do that to generate all sorts of income as well as to, you know, attack and get rid of the cartels because they're competition. Seriously, you got to see some of the data that's out there. Now, I don't put it on the site or anything like that because I don't want to come off as some kind of a conspiracy theorist and stuff like that, even though it's all true. You know, it's just... I've got a different calling. I'm not going to deal with stuff like that. But there are some pretty interesting videos out there with some facts in regards to all that. And so if there's money to be made, they're going to go for it. And but still, today it's just strange. Some people, because I knew some guys in high school that's all it was about. What can they physically do to generate an amusement park in their own mind with the drugs they purchase? And so she goes on to say that, will my mind become so infatuated so as to forget God? Well, yeah, that's the main reason everybody's doing it today. So she says, shall I cease to give to have his glory before me? It is the privilege and duty of Christians to seek to refresh their spirits and invigorate their bodies by innocent recreation with the purpose of using their physical and mental powers to the glory of God. Rather, our recreation should not be scenes of senseless mirth taking the form of the nonsensical. We can conduct them in such a manner as will benefit and elevate those with whom we associate and better qualify us and them to more successfully attend to the duties devolving upon us as Christians. The time spent in physical exercise is not lost. A proportionate exercise of all the organs and the faculties of the body is essential to the best work of each. When the brain is constantly taxed, while the other organs of the living machinery are inactive, there is a loss of strength, physical and mental. The physical system is robbed of its healthful tone. The mind loses its freshness and vigor, and a morbid excitability is a result. And I got to tell you, that's one of the reasons we have to have these gatherings and these retreats, if you will, or convocations is something we used to call them. We need time away, and that's another reason why I like to take off certain days of the week now, because sitting behind the computer all the time, just doing all this research and stuff like that, it's just, it's very taxing, like she says here. I get at a point where it's getting difficult to focus when I read scripture, and that angers me. I don't want to deal with that. I want to be able to focus big time. I don't want to miss a drop of truth. And so if that means having to shut down a couple of days a week, well, I'm going to do it. And even if it gets to the point where I have to close the blog, I'll do it. I don't care. Reading his word and understanding and getting a better, you know, grip on the truth and being able to share it with others, that is going to be, you know, front burner for me all the time. I'm never going to put that on a back burner. But she finishes by saying here that those who are engaged in study should have relaxation. The mind must not be constantly confined to close thought, for the delicate mental machinery becomes worn. Just like anything else. Yeah. And, you know, it was kind of hard to understand that years ago, but now I got living proof. It can get worn out. You can get to a point where it's just like, well, you start getting cloudy-brained, I like to call them, like, or foggy-brained. She says, the body as well as the mind must have exercise. Okay, the next one here is titled Recreation That May Be Enjoyed by Rich and Poor Alike. She says, youth cannot be made as sedate and grave as old age. The child is sober as the sire. While sinful amusements are condemned, as they should be, let parents, teachers, and guardians of the youth provide in their stead innocent pleasures, which will not taint or corrupt the morals. Now, I went to a... where did I go to? I think it was something to do with one of my grandkids, to their school to see something. I can't remember. You know, they were getting, like, graduation or something. I don't know. It was just some... what I used to call when I was a teenager, rah-rah stuff. I mean, I never went to any football games unless there was going to be a riot. But I didn't like the rah-rah stuff. I thought it's just a big old waste of time. Because back then it was just ridiculous. Even the, you know, they always had these marching bands. It was just like, it's just, I can't listen to that. Now, unbelievable. They got this rock music. You know, man, because I was there with this, I can't remember which grandchild it was, but and this is in a, you know, government school, obviously. They are doing everything they can to dumb down our children. You know, this is par for the course. And Christians have been warning people about this for decades, and now you see the end result. It's really that bad now where they're just, I mean, there's that, what is that, that weird teaching method, what they call it now. I can't remember what it's called, but it's really stupid. They're trying to make the kids as dumb as possible. You don't have to do multiplication tables now. You just go 3 plus 3 plus 3 plus 3 plus 3 plus 3, you know, to figure out. Yeah, Common Core. Thanks, Alex. Because I saw this article the other day where a kid was failed. One of his questions were checked off as wrong because they says, well, how do you come up with 3 times, how would you come up with the 15, you know, 3 divided by 5 or 3 times 5 or whatever like that. And so he put 5 plus 5 plus 5 equals 15. And the teacher says, no, you're wrong. It's 3 plus 3 plus 3 plus 3 plus 3 equals 15. And so how well is that going to work in the world when you're, you know, either looking for a job? Oh, hold on a second. If you ain't got a calculator, you better have a real long piece of paper and a really, well, really long pencil. But I was at this school, and they had this rah-rah event. I don't know what it was. But the music, I could not believe it. And then you can see this too online. I put a couple of these videos over the years. They're still on the Homeschool Spurs page. And you know what a spur means? You kick the horse with the spur to get them to move forward. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get the parents to do. Move forward right out of that, you know, school. Get your kids out of there. But they were doing like lap dances and everything. The teachers in front of the kids at like where all the kids are there for the whole school on the bleachers. The teachers were doing lap dances in front of the kids. And this is United States of America. And that was like 2 years ago. It's worse now. But at these school events, this music, it was like Madonna. It was that Spears girl and all these disgusting lyrics. And all the kids were getting into it. The parents were getting into it. I mean, the teachers are tapping away on their feet and stuff. And it was blaringly loud where you go out of there and your ears are going to be whistling because I got tinnitus, you know. And so my, you know, I'm not going to stick my fingers in my ears because they're already blown out. But the thing is, you know, I know I'm going to have to deal with a whistle for the next, you know, day or two because of all that noise. And this is what they're teaching the children. This is all acceptable. And so what she's talking about here is let the parents, the teachers, the guardians of the youth in their stead innocent pleasures. Well, that's gone. That's past tense. That's never happening again in this country. It just can't. We're in the end. And so she goes on to say that do not bind down the young to rigid rules and restraints that will lead them to feel themselves oppressed and to break over and rush into paths of folly and destruction. With a firm, kind, considerate hand, hold the lines of government, guiding and controlling their minds and purposes, yet so gently, so wisely, so lovingly, that they will still know that you have their best good in view. There are modes of recreation which are highly beneficial to both mind and body. An enlightened, discriminating mind will find abundant means for the entertainment and diversion from sources not only innocent but instructive. Recreation in the open air, the contemplation of the works of God in nature, will be the highest, be of highest benefit. And that has to be, I mean, ever since I was a kid, that's what I get into. I mean, that's why I prayed for the camper. I mean, I want to be out there in the trees as often as I possibly can, go for long walks in the woods, even without a trail. I'm a guy, I wear pants. So, but if Fran goes with me, well, yeah, she'll put pants on underneath the dress or whatever because, yeah. And praise God, she was healed of it because the Lord told her what to do. But she ended up getting Lyme disease one time because we were out here walking around in our area and I stepped off the road to go check something by the creek. And I had to walk through a bunch of these flowers and all this other, you know, these wild things that are growing out here. And she did too. And I guess something got up underneath and bit her. And then she got all the warning signs, and but she was healed. And the reason we brought that up is because another woman out here was healed as well by using the exact same methods after prayer was offered for her. But then later on, when she was actually healed because of these methods, she declared unto all that our, you know, the prayers that Fran offered and the healing methods, the natural methods, did not heal her. It was the doctors and the medicine. She had to say it that way, like we were talking about this earlier. She had to say it that way because if she would have said what was done the way we do things, she would have to acknowledge that she's in the wrong church. But she couldn't. She couldn't. She had to say it in a way where it would benefit her. So anyway, continuing, it says, no recreation helpful only to themselves will prove so great a blessing to the children and youth as that which makes them helpful to others. Naturally enthusiastic and impressible, the young are quick to respond to suggestion. God has provided for everyone pleasure that may be enjoyed by rich and poor alike. The pleasure found in cultivating pureness of thought and unselfishness of action. The pleasure that comes from speaking sympathizing words and doing kindly deeds. From those who perform such services or service, the light of Christ shines to brighten lives darkened by many sorrows. There are plenty of necessary, useful things to do in our world that would make the pleasure, amusement, exercise, almost wholly unnecessary. Brain, bone, and muscle will acquire solidity and strength, and using them to a purpose, doing good, hard thinking, and devising plans which shall train them to develop powers of intellect and strength of the physical organs, which will be putting into practical use their God-given talents with which they may glorify God. And then she says, I do not condemn the simple exercise of playing ball, but this, even its simplicity, may be overdone. I shrink always from the almost sure result which follows in the wake of these amusements. It leads to an outlay of means that should be expended in bringing the light of truth to souls that are perishing out of Christ. See, she always hangs her hat. Sorry, I hit the mic. She always hangs her hat there. And I love the way she does this. Even in today's world, and even in her world, I would think a lot of people would consider her a prude. Because, I mean, you're always talking about ways to glorify Christ. It's, well, look at the timing she's talking in. I mean, okay, fine, granted. It's been over 160 some years since the end times began. So a lot of people like to shirk it away just like they did in Noah's day as he was building that ark on dry land. And they figure, okay, well, she's just overdoing it. It says, no, she's not overdoing it. The end is now. you have to concentrate in this area. Sure, fine, okay. You might feel a little bit downtrodden, and you might think it's a bit unfair, you know. I could have had a nice, fun life and done this and that, but no, I got to put my spiritual nose to the grindstone, get out there and tell everybody about Jesus Christ because he's coming so soon. Well, poor you. Because the fact of the matter is, that's what's happening. It's got to be done. You got to go out there and do it. Because people are perishing. They're dropping like flies out there. And we have a duty. And we're doing it, praise God. This is why I love this church so much. The work that, you know. Yeah, amen. But she finishes by saying, the amusements and expenditures of means for self-pleasing, which lead on step by step to self-glorifying, and the educating of these games for pleasure, produce a love and passion for such things that is not favorable to the perfection of Christian character. And I think she touches on this in another book, maybe, I don't know. But I think I read somewhere in her writings where she says something to the effect that keeping score is wrong. And I agree, because there's always going to be a loser. Worse yet, there's going to be a winner. Because with the winner comes pride, you know, where it builds up and it causes you to, seek self-glory. And then it comes crashing down when you lose the game. And this is why, and look at how bad it's gotten today, where when you lose the game, there's actually riots. Like the term poor sportsmanship, that was a real term in the 70s. You didn't, like if somebody lashed out at a game and he was ejected, like if somebody in the game, even though they were still keeping score, there was a lot of gambling left and right going on, still there was some kind of moral authority going on in these games back in the 70s that I recall, because like the stuff you'd watch on TV, if somebody done something stupid or said something that was unsportsmanlike, they'd be ejected out of the game. Now it's just part of the game. I mean, look at the soccer players out there, especially in the other countries, in the foreign lands, where they fake injuries. I saw a video the other day where a guy, they were just yelling at each other. One guy came real close, and the other guy acted like he headbutted him. It was obviously faked. But they do this. This is what they do. And you know, and then they start fights doing it. They start a big old fight. When I was a kid, teenager, we saw many a dugout empty because there was a fight on the field. But that was rare. You'd see that, one every 10 games maybe. If that, sometimes once or twice a year. My brothers were always talking about it. I never sat and watched a baseball game on TV in my life. Never would. It's just, that's just boring. but they would, but today it's like every week you hear about it. But then again, there's a lot more leagues out there. But still, the violence of it all is just insane. So anyway, I hope and pray you were blessed. Let's finish in prayer. First time we've done this in a while. We actually ended right on 9 o'clock. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for blessing us on this Sabbath day with your presence and giving us an understanding and a blessing regarding how you would have us do things, especially in regards to our children. Please bless the parents here, Father, that have, it's a sticky situation down here when it comes to the schools and stuff, because the kids or the parents can't afford to homeschool and that. Thank you for the hedge of angels that you have around those children that have to go to those schools, because there's no other way of doing it. But if there is a way out, Father, please bless those families with a way for the mother or the father, whatever one, it don't matter. But it's, that would be nice if the, however your will is, Father, that's fine. But, so the kids can be trained and educated by the ones that love them, not the ones that are being paid by a government that hates them, especially if they're Christian. So thank you for blessing our children and keeping them safe no matter where they're at. And the society that the kids have in these schools, it is a completely different society. We've all gone through it. Please keep them safe there too because of the peer pressure. And thank you so much for forgiving us and blessing us with answered prayers, even if the answer is no. And we offer this prayer to you in the hopes of the latter rain and that you accept it. And in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.